Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be yapping about whatever we freaking want, but definitely about the magical weekend we've spent together. How's your weekend in Pittsburgh going?
Oh, it's been good.
That's it.
It's been a lot of fun. I have a bit of a cold. So you can probably hear it, and
it's giving copycat vibes.
Well, I just want to say we weren't going to cancel again.
No way. And I mean, you're fine. And yeah. On top of that, you're absolutely freaking fine.
But I'm sorry if I sound gross.
Well, thank you for that.
Apology. Not to you, to the listeners.
Oh,
just okay. Because like, imagine that the sound in their headphones.
No, I know. That's why I'm so upset. That's why I'm so angry. I just want to say, has watermelon flavored anything ever been good?
There's one thing that I can think of.
What?
Well, I can't actually think of the product.
Then it wasn't that good.
No, I want to say it was like a Celsius or something that was watermelon.
Couldn't have been, because I'm drinking a watermelon Celsius right now, and that's where my complaint is coming from. Because
maybe it's not that. But yeah, I typically don't. Well, the watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Okay. I will give you that. That one is pretty good.
Other than that, I think watermelon beverages, bad.
Bad unless it's just like pure watermelon juice watermelon that's been like squeezed from a watermelon.
It doesn't really have flavor. Like, I mean, it has flavor
it's
a watermelon.
A juicy slice of watermelon is flavorful and you know it.
But it doesn't translate. Like a watermelon LaCroix, get the fuck out of here.
Oh my God. No, it's like... Maybe because it's a watermelon. When you mix it with water, it's like, it already has that.
Yeah. Well, okay? I mean, I also think that like...
Try adding something new, different, or leaving it just how it fucking is.
Melon flavors are hard, too.
Yeah.
Like any sort of melon. I think because they're kind of muted.
Yeah. I guess so.
So.
Anyway, Phoebe and I are IRL, which is so fun and so cool. And we just ordered lunch together. Luxury we haven't had in months. Bless you.
Thank you.
A luxury we haven't had in months, okay? Right. And
well, a month. 2 months.
That's months. A more than one would be months. Thank you so much for the correction, though. So we ordered delicious Mediterranean fare, and we realized, holy moly, I don't have Diet Cokes in the fridge, and we're about to be recording the podcast. Impossible. We are sponsored by Diet Coke. I feel the same way. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is sponsored by Diet Coke in like the unofficial way. But so then I was like, okay, I've got a Dort like double dash and yes. Add on some Diet Cokes. And while I'm there, I'll just get a Celsius. And I specifically requested the lemon lime, understanding. And I'm very understanding if that flavor isn't available, substitute it, of course. But you mean to tell me the next best thing was watermelon and you didn't even ask?
That's a good point. But it was speedy.
It was speedy. And honestly, like that's so true. I just know that if I were the one choosing the Celsius flavor, like there's a reason watermelon is still there.
But I do
there's
have
a reason
question.
It's on the shelves, y'all.
I do have a question. Why were the Diet Cokes warm?
Well, because okay, so because they came in a 6-pack. I requested a 12-pack of cans. Guess I didn't have it. Replaced with a 6-pack of bottles, so I didn't get like Lucy's.
I thought that's what you got. And
I like the idea that like the term Lucy's applies to cigarettes. Do you know that?
No.
There's this like thing I actually don't know if I've ever actually been to a bar that does this, but apparently at bars you can go buy like a Lucy, which is just like buy one cigarette. This is like an old timey thing, I think, when you could smoke in bars. But anyway, I like the idea of a Lucy Diet Coke.
I mean, well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
And it's going to come cold.
Yeah. Lucy should always come cold unless it's not a Diet Coke. Then maybe it shouldn't. There's nothing to talk about.
Well, we could talk about this. So we ordered lunch.
This
Caroline
saga
has,
of lunch.
Caroline has two ottomans in her living room that
Thank
are pushed
you.
Together. You're welcome. And she deliberately placed these placemats in spots where like she knew where she was placing them.
Yeah.
And she put the hummus on the middle one that was bridging the ottomans, but the ottomans are pushed together,
which it like would have worked perfectly if not for what happened next.
Caroline comes, I'm like fully eating, like I have the hummus open, I'm eating
what you guys
it.
Are hearing is correct. I'm working like a dog, and Phoebe's enjoying her lunch already.
She's getting her stuff ready, and she sits down and she pulls her ottoman closer to her so that the placemat with the hummus
that was bridging the two ottomans
falls
and collapses.
I've never moved faster in my life.
And I can confirm I've never seen her move faster. And what she did could only have been done in such haste that, like, you were not thinking of the consequences. Because
the
Phoebe
only
can't
thought
call.
On my mind was Caroline's going to burst into tears if this gets anywhere other than where it ended up being.
Yeah, and it did get
but not
other places. But no, I would have
been catastrophic.
We both would have been more upset that we lost the hummus.
Well, yeah.
Because we all know we dream of Aladdin's hummus. If you're a Pittsburgh person, holy freaking moly. When
Aladdin's
you're not in Pittsburgh
so
and you think about the Aladdin's hummus, you might shed a tear.
Guys, something that people might not understand about Pittsburgh is that we have a lot of, like, really good diverse food here.
Yes. It's like a foodie town.
And people
bit.
Don't get it. And honestly, like, moving to Nashville, you would think Nashville's, like, pretty... It's like a booming city.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say their food scene is, like, anything...
They're more focused on, like, their alcohol scene. And their chicken scene.
Yeah, and everything else kind of falls to the wayside. So when I come back here, it's like, oh my gosh. Nobody would think that in Pittsburgh...
You get to try global cuisine.
Even just on our main road in Mount Lebanon.
Okay, what have you eaten while you've been... Wait, we got to finish this lunch story. So guys, you'll never believe what happened next.
Sorry,
are you following?
Sorry to leave you on the edge of your seat. Where we left off is that the hummus container is midair.
Okay, so picture this. Okay, I just absolutely... cavalierly, without a thought in the world, yanked the ottoman, pulled it. Phoebe goes, Phoebe's mouth is a little bit ajar, okay? The placemat is falling, boom, 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 midair. The hummus is starting to go, you know, it's quite viscous, so it's not quite midair, but, like, it's sloshing a little bit. Phoebe is mid-reach, okay? Press play. Here we go. Phoebe reaches her hand straight into the thing of hummus. Guys, hummus fingers? Like... is as horrific as it sounds, okay? And then I just look over. Phoebe, by the way, dead silent. Phoebe, just with a, as she called it, handful of hummus.
Well, at this point, I hadn't quite held my hand out of the hummus yet because Caroline...
Oh, yeah, she kept it in there.
Don't act like I did that as a choice. Caroline had also frozen based on what had just happened. So I was keeping it. I couldn't, like, really...
She was also so focused, like, laser focused. Her eyes are staring at the hummus. She's not laughing. She's not speaking. She's not flinching. Hand in the hummus, keeping everything together.
Yeah.
And so thank you.
You're welcome.
For doing that. So we did still eat the hummus that was covered in Phoebe's hand. Then she goes, do you think I could have another napkin? I was like, no, for sure. I think maybe washing our hands is, like, the move when we're covered in hummus.
Guys, I did wash my hands.
That is so funny.
And then I said, at the end of us eating, I said, man, don't you wish there was just like a handful of more hummus in here?
And that's how we're going to start like our
I think that's the title of that, handful of hummus.
Handful of hummus. I got to have a hummus.
Didn't quite work.
Okay, whatever. Well, we forgot to mention also that as Phoebe's hand was in the hummus, she goes, wait, shouldn't you be taking pictures of this? She's so content focused and we love that about her. So her head's in the game, in case anyone was wondering. Her head's in the freaking game.
Except if it's just me at an event.
Which was when?
Then I struggle to take pictures.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mean if it's just you and your friends and anyone, if I'm not there, Kelly.
Right.
Kelly, our
assistant.
But that's not a strong enough word.
Our PR, our tree pain.
Kelly's our tree pain.
Guys, we went to this wedding this weekend. Congratulations,
Kate. You may remember Kate from my dream rotation last week.
And literally, Kelly, the podcast comes up at some point. This was before, I think it was mentioned in a speech. Someone else, I think, said it. And Kelly is sitting across from me at this table. And Caroline is sitting next to me. And then Anthony. And then Kelly. And... Kelly is like it, like an antsy kid waiting to like pull up her phone.
Yes, it's
and
like
show.
It's like a kid who's obsessed with Taylor Swift and is like at a family dinner, like, God,
yes.
Can someone just please bring
exactly.
her up? You know what I mean? But also, what it is like, you know how you can get Google alerts for whatever you want. So like, I get Google alerts for our podcast and whatever, and it's sent to your inbox every morning to let you know anything anyone said about whatever. So I get it about Pretty Little Liars, which is not even my favorite show, and The Pretty Little Podcast. And I feel like Kelly gets telepathic Google alerts into her head when anyone within like a 500-yard radius is mentioning or, as Phoebe said, thinking about The Pretty Little Podcast. And it's like, that is why she's so crucial to our lives.
Yes. And then at one point...
But also because she's just amazing. But it's like, I mean, this can't be taught. Okay? This kind of loyalty cannot be taught.
Right. At one point during the speech of the father of the bride... He brought up the podcast and Kelly literally, Caroline was clearly like, didn't want to like be like, it's The Pretty Little Podcast. But I see Kelly go.
She raises her hand and goes, find me after the speeches. I do low key feel like Mr. Crowley was like, okay. And based on how Caroline's speech goes, I may or may not plug her podcast.
Which was
mine.
Nice.
So cool of him to do. I mean, we have like 250 people there who are now just absolutely
trumping
massive fans of our show. Well, they've had 48 hours.
Well,
they've
Caroline
listened by
and
now.
There also wasn't music at this wedding. It was just me and Caroline.
It was, we didn't know that we were going to be the entertainment for the entire wedding, but we did. It was a live podcast show. And it was also their first time learning about our show.
It was awesome.
That's how good we are.
We watched an entire episode together of Pretty Little Liars.
Mm-hmm.
And Dead Silence.
No it was romantic.
No one was allowed to talk. And everybody had to.
It was the Ghost Train episode. And it was romantic.
Perfect. Everybody had to. No, it was the episode where Spencer and Toby.
Have sex with the song Ride is playing. Okay, yeah.
And everybody was dead silent. They had to pause when we wanted to pause because we were taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also weren't allowed to interject at all when we recorded
obviously
it.
Not.
And that will be the episode that comes out on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Okay, so get ready for that. Just kidding. There was music. It was great. We danced lots of dancing. But it is just always like so funny because when people initially are like, find out you have a podcast, you're like, oh, what do you talk about? And it's like, I would rather die than tell you.
Literally, it's like, I don't know. And then I feel like I have to like list off, like I feel like I need to like show them our expenses, like
I
need to like prove
this
to
up
them.
Because I love being asked Mr. Crowley asking me like, do you guys spend money on this? So I was like, well, we spend the money we make. That was a great. And then it was like, okay, let's talk about this. And people just, I don't know.
And of course, just like I shouted out last week, shout out Rosetta Stone for being like a badge of honor these days.
Yeah, I use that. People, hey guys, people have heard of you.
Hey, Rosetta
Stone, hey, Rosetta
Stone.
Job. People have heard ever since we started running your ad, people have heard of you. And so when we bring you up, they're like, oh no, did I hear about it? But it is also funny how many people, because like anyone within 6 degrees of separation from like me or Kate was probably going to get the 10-minute TikTok video of April on their For You page. Like Corey texts Anthony, he's like, this just showed up and I watched the entire thing, which is
so
amazing.
Funny.
But so sometimes I'll be like mentioning it and they'll be like, wait,
I saw that.
I think, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you did.
Okay,
yeah,
and now I'm gonna go look back through all the vitriol that was
and
commented on the video.
Which
and see
which one was you? I see like their full government name. Like, okay. Anyway, yeah, so Phoebe and I got to experience a wedding and I'm like in the holding room. So the wedding was in the Heinz History Center, which if you're in Pittsburgh and you haven't been, you've got to go.
We walked up to that museum. There's a sign in front of it that says the number one history museum in the country.
Did you have any idea?
No. And guys, listen, I know we say it all the time. Fuck you if you don't like Pittsburgh. I'm tired of it.
Anyhow, we've already said it in this episode.
It actually makes me so angry and like it's so pick me to be like, ugh. Pittsburgh. Like I see comments on like when like these people who travel to baseball fields or whatever, mm-hmm. like for fun, they'll go to PNC Park and all these comments are like, yeah, but you have to go to Pittsburgh to go there.
I
and
know.
It's like, fuck you. You first of all, it's so rude.
Yeah.
Second of all, you don't know what you're talking about clearly, because if you've been here, you would know that it's one of the greatest cities in America.
It's weird that you don't want to live here then.
You know that in theory
I'm
I
not
do.
Trying to start a fight, but if we start a fight, then we do.
You know that in theory I do want
to
live here.
Okay, but in theory is so BS to me. I'm going to quote Kyle Richards. This is all bullshit to me. I love when she says this is bullshit to me. She says it all the time. I also love when Kate's little cousin, Kate's niece, her favorite thing to say is no way, not just no. And no way packs a punch, let me tell you, because it was hilarious. She's getting her hair done. Her mom's like, Nora, just hold my hand. She goes,
no way.
And she's like, crying.
Wait, that's funny because at first I thought you meant when someone, like, if you tell someone something and they're no way.
Dead serious.
No way. Like, no way. I'm not doing
and
that.
Like, get your hair done. No way. Nora, stop crying.
That's so Caroline as a kid coded.
It's so funny. It was also funny because there were a bunch of kids at the wedding that were like the cutest kids you've ever seen in your life. But at the rehearsal, they were not thrilled to be there, which is fair. As a kid, there's nothing worse than like...
Because they're at a job.
Right. They're working. They're flower girls and ring bearers, right? And...
Which so can be a lot.
They're two like super young kids and they're crying and that's just okay because they're super young kids. And then there's another kid who's a little bit older who's like being really good. And me and one of the other bridesmaids are like, wow, she's being such a little angel. Oh my God. Within seconds, she looks over at one of the other little kids who's crying and she gets inspired. And she's like... Mm-hmm. She starts trying out some cries and she's like, yeah, I'm going for it.
That's so funny. That's like tantrum. Snoop like has adopted, like, Sid is the most chill dog in the world.
Yes.
But he does have some little neuroses.
Yeah, like, I know. I don't know if it's chill, if he's chill.
He's pretty chill.
He's busier than a lot of chill people.
But
I
like
know.
He'll relax. Snoop is
Once
always
the
on
work
edge.
Day is done.
No, but
or
Sid...
He'll take a 10-minute break.
Sid gives, like, blue-collar man.
Okay, true.
Snoop gives, like, anxious...
Snoop gives Jean Smart's dog in a show she's cast in where she's a bitch.
Yes.
That's Snoop.
Snoop's, like, medicated. That's Snoop.
Yeah.
And
medicated and it's not working.
Sid only has a couple things that, like, trip him up. Like, he hates storms.
Yeah. Dude, last night, okay, Phoebe and I was, I'm not gonna lie, scared for my life and yours kind of more so mine, of course. Just kidding. But it was scary. We were driving. We had a really fun night last night. So we went to like Topgolf Dupe. I don't know.
I low-key think it's the original Topgolf.
Do you think?
It seemed like it.
They should sue. Guys, because Topgolf is now everywhere.
I don't
know.
Say the name because I'm about to shit talk the constituents of that bar, but of that establishment. We walked... So Caroline and I go in, and then when we leave, we, like, walk out of our bay and through the bar. It felt like I had, like, an offensive shirt on walking through this bar the way that these people were looking at us.
I didn't look at a single person as we left, so I really missed this, and I wish I had looked the hell up, because maybe I would have gotten in a bar fight.
And that would have been incredible content.
That would... Oh my God. And I know you would have filmed.
And I would have gone live.
Because again, she has the content disease. I know. And that was the one thing. We didn't go live for Hummus Hands. Sorry. But we didn't go live while you've been here.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm in Steelers gear. Like, what is going on?
People were like specifically looking at you with dirty looks.
I felt like it. They felt very mean.
I mean, I know you said something about it when we got up, but I just like, I literally think I was just looking down the entire time.
Yeah. I felt
or
really.
Up, or I just, I don't.
I felt really awkward.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, don't get me wrong. I'd go back. I loved the place.
Yeah. I know you did. Well, that's what's annoying is because you love places like that. So it's like they actually were looking at one of them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But it was a golf place. We watched the Steelers game. I don't really want to talk about the Steelers game, but it was...
Well, thank God, because neither do I.
It was raining and lightning and so much. But here's what I was going to say about Sid and Snoop is that Sid has kind of figured out how to temper his fear... For thunderstorms.
Cutie. He's like, Snoop needs the attention more.
But you know who has suddenly become scared of thunderstorms?
Oh.
Snoop.
That's so interesting, Snoop, you little liar.
Literally, like, Snoop, you've never had a problem with thunderstorms.
Now that Sid's kind of got it together, it's like
Mom
he saw an opportunity.
Mom said Snoop was shaking last night.
And let me guess. Snoop. And it's exactly what Snoop wanted. And he got it.
Like,
and yet again, Snoop gets exactly what Snoop
Sid
wants.
Sid realized that he was getting more attention than he wanted because he was being scared. So he was like, all right, Sid, you got to man up.
Yeah.
You got to get it
There's
together.
No way you're going to get all your work done if people are stopping to pet you every few seconds. Okay. There's a reason you look like this. There's a reason Snoop is the king of cute. Okay. And Mom keeps saying you've got a great personality. There is a reason. Anyway. Oh my God. Well, I don't know how much longer I'll be doing the podcast because I did just come up with the perfect name as a pop star, Lizzie Sometimes. So this might be my last episode, depending on how well it takes off in the next couple days.
Right.
That is such a good name for a pop star, admit it.
It is. Let's make
Lizzie
a band.
Sometimes. Let's make a band again. No, yeah, I said again.
I mean, let's travel the country and find Lizzie sometimes.
No, I'm Phoebe. I am Lizzie sometimes, obviously.
Hey, Phoebe.
Because
come here.
Anthony calls me Lizzie sometimes. Hello? Because my middle name is Elizabeth. Hello?
Hello?
Which is a hard name to spell if you're young.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I know all about names that are hard to spell when you're young.
Okay, well, your name didn't have a Z in it.
My name actually...
Z's are insane for names.
But nothing about... So is P-H-O-E.
Yeah, but...
And adults can't spell it.
When are you going to tell everyone that you legally changed your name to Phoebe for attention?
I actually
her name was Kate. K-A-T-E.
Zach from the Valley. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is the plight of being named Phoebe.
Oh, tell me
Zach's
more.
Zach's making a TikTok. He's in Goodwill and he sees that there are like hundreds of awards with the name Phoebe. I can't remember the last name. Phoebe something.
Phoebe sometimes.
And
Joan still.
Yeah. our favorite film ever, and none of them are even friends anymore.
Was Ben Platt singing Kate's first dance song?
Not the first dance song, but the father-daughter one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
But that was definitely Ben Platt. So he's making the video. It's spelled... The subtitles that are there are spelling the name Phoebe right. Mm-hmm. The award is in front of him with the name Phoebe spelled on it. Guess how this bitch spells it in the caption.
Tell me.
P-H-E-O-B-E.
Well, guess who else spelled it like that recently in a conversation with you and me?
Who?
Megan Albatross.
Oh, yeah. And I said something to her about it.
You did,
it.
And she did not pick up on it.
No. And when she gets here, she'll...
So, Megan, in a few years, when you listen to this episode, you'll know what you did.
Oh, my gosh. Megan makes me laugh.
What are you asking for Christmas and your birthday?
Maybe a Ninja Creamy.
Oh, really?
Maybe, but I need an Apple Watch more.
Okay, no, she gave me an up and down look when she said that. Maybe, but I need an Apple Watch more. Okay, why do I feel like you just bullied me?
I have like, I want like one of those bowls that washes lettuce.
Oh, I have one of those.
That's helpful. I want like a rolling pin.
I want a colander. But here's the thing.
You want like a nice colander.
A nice colander. But I'm like, is it worth...
I just have a plastic one.
Spending this much money on a colander.
Probably not right
now.
Probably
not, but also... Well, no, but I mean like asking for it. And then that's like, you know, an expensive Christmas gift.
Well, it's like you just have to weigh what do you actually want to ask for.
I know. What else are you thinking?
I have a list somewhere. But
I have some shoes I need to get, but it's pre-Christmas, so I need to
do
it.
Mom's getting me the Stan Smiths. Because
thank God.
Because I took them off and she looked inside of them and she was like, okay, there's barely any shoe left.
That's... You purposely brought home an old pair so that would happen?
No.
I want to
no.
get the Birk clogs.
I want them bad.
Yeah, take me back.
I actually have
but
a gripe.
But why are they $160?
I have a gripe for TikTok. If I see, and I know we just shit talked the TikTok shop the other day, but I'm going to do it again. These people that do an ad for the Boston clogs, and they are in the video wearing Birkenstocks.
Yeah, and they're dupes that they're talking about.
And then you click on them and they are the ugliest thing you've seen in the whole world. And they're not Birkenstocks. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This should be illegal.
I'm pretty sure I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, maybe one day for me. Not right now, but I do want them because I have like those UGG slippers.
Yeah.
Not the ones that you have that are like our actual shoes.
Yeah.
And I can't wear those out, but I like that they like cover my feet.
Yeah.
Cause I will, I'm not too pompous to wear stocks and socks. I'll wear them. I like wearing them, but when it gets cold, I do want my feet to be covered.
Yes. And Birk clogs are great. They're just like a great fall girl look. I love them. I loved them in high school and I love them now.
Shout out Sarah Davidson. She was the first one of my friends that bought them.
Really?
Yeah, she was on the trend like years ago. I feel like she got them like when she went to school.
Maybe.
And I was like,
didn't she go to school in Boston?
Yeah.
Maybe people wear them there. I don't know. But I'm going through that moment of like, I always have this where it's like, I want it in pink and I know I should get taupe. and I probably will get the taupe, but like yeah. I want it in pink. And then if I do it in pink, then I won't wear them as much, or right. I will. And it's like,
they're going to get dirty.
Just get them in taupe. But the taupe is going to get dirty too. But that's like the color that like I used to have in high school.
You had them once?
Yes. These were like the shoe in high school.
Dang, mom's never liked them.
No, never.
But she's never liked Birkenstocks.
I had to beg her for them.
I had to beg her for Birkenstocks, and she would only get me those. And I loved them, mom, and I'm grateful. But she only wanted me to get those like pink sparkly ones that yeah. I had that were like metallic kind of.
Oh yeah.
And those were cute. Oh my god, I got those when Sid was a puppy.
And he chewed them. And
I had like just flown home from Atlanta where we bought them. I remember that.
They were brand new. You were so mad.
I was so mad. He chewed them, and I remember emailing someone who. Like a shoemaker.
A cobbler?
A cobbler who I found him online. Maybe not for Birkenstocks, but I think he might have been a cobbler. But he like restores shoes, and he mm-hmm. was known for restoring Birkenstocks. And I was like, can you fix these? And he said, I don't have that kind of leather. Sorry, girl. But it added character and said, I love you forever.
Just got a text about my maid of honor speech from the bride.
That it was... so bad, and it was nothing she was hoping for, and that she had been dreaming of this moment since they were in fourth grade, and that Caroline really dropped the ball.
That is exactly what she said.
I knew it.
Did you make a troll account and send that to me?
Well, no, it's just we were all kind of waiting for her to say something.
Oh, shut the hell up.
We were all talking about it at the wedding.
It was really good, you guys. It was really good. Okay, let's look at... I don't even know what we have to talk about.
What did I put in the note? I think I have some things.
Oh, Rosetta Stone. Back in 2022, I traveled to Rome with my husband for our honeymoon, and the trip was incredible. But with all the chaos leading up to our wedding, time to learn the Italian language grew scarce. We always intended to learn at least some Italian before getting on the plane, but every time we tried, something got in the way. But now I'm using Rosetta Stone and learning Italian so that our next trip to Italy is even more amazing.
Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Personally, I'm most excited to learn Spanish so that I can appreciate Spanish-speaking TV shows and Spanish pop culture to the fullest.
Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, Korean, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more.
And it can help you learn a language fast. There are no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And the process is super intuitive and designed for long-term retention.
Rosetta Stone also features a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. A built-in dialect coach? Count me in.
Rosetta Stone is so convenient, so flexible, and the best part is the value. Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership featuring all 25 languages. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. An absolute steal.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. The Pretty Little Podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off with code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at rosettastone.com/today.
Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PrettyLittlePodcast for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PrettyLittlePodcast for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PrettyLittlePodcast for $40 off. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors, the rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors, which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PrettyLittlePodcast at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PrettyLittlePodcast for 15% off today.
Did you hear about this like temporary second moon that we're getting in? It's called our mini moon.
Yes, I think we should name her like Deirdre.
Oh, I kind of like Deirdre because it's like a deirdrop, like a little drop.
I love her. I also Deirdre. Love that the one, guys, my current favorite phrase right now, and I don't really use it, but my favorite phrase is
cleaning out. Oh, that's this, sorry. That's my husband's favorite phrase. Sorry.
It's who's this diva?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so funny.
Phoebe said this to me 10 times and over this weekend.
And that's how I found out about the moon because like a month ago.
Okay, so I'm like really into this phrase, who's this diva? And that's how I found out about the moon. That's an insane sentence. I want to go tell a caveman that sentence. When they get off the Mayflower, I want everybody to say that sentence to them and then record their faces.
Caveman to the Mayflower is a crazy jump.
That's just how I work.
But... like a month ago when they realized that this was going to happen, someone quote tweeted it and said, can't wait to meet this diva. and then later.
Has like, she come yet?
Yeah, she's here. And then.
Have you seen her?
No, but she is here. I don't know how easy she is to see. She might be shy.
I love that she's like so like if she turns to the side, you can miss her. I love that about Deirdre. Okay, go on with what you were saying.
People were like, someone quote tweeted and they were like, hey girl, we cannot wait to have you. We cannot wait to meet you.
We have got to make her time special. What do you think your favorite Taylor Swift song is?
Mirrorball.
Okay. I was going to say Lavender Haze, but I like both.
I feel like Mirrorball is more her because she's like, I'm on my tallest tiptoes. I'm never going to be your real moon.
No one's
moon.
Ever going to see me. But
I'm never
going to
be your moon.
But maybe that's what she likes. She's like, I'm a fleeting moment in time for you. Actually, I mean, how many places is she really going to be going?
Well, she around the world.
That's just what our moon world? Does.
Well, in the other planets.
That's what I'm saying, Phoebe. Like, she sounds booked and busy to me.
Okay, guys. I went to the sweat tour.
Yeah.
And it was the best night of my life, but I do just want to, I need to tell a little
Let's
anecdote.
Let's talk about it, yeah.
So my friends and I are walking into Bridgestone Arena, and obviously like the crowd is epic and mm-hmm. kind of unique for that part of Nashville.
Sure.
Not necessarily what you're expecting to see if you're a tourist.
Okay.
So we're taking pictures, and this woman starts like waiting behind my friends who are taking the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I can tell that she like wants to ask a question.
Oh, no way you got recognized. She goes, are you Phoebe from the Pretty Little Podcast?
No, she okay, so she's like from Europe.
And these must be Jules and GC. Hello?
Hello. She's from Europe. And she they're gonna love that I'm telling this story. She's like, what is going on here tonight? And we were like, oh, it's just
how
like,
to explain.
It's just like a concert. And she's like, oh, like for what kind of artist? and we're like trying to explain who Charlie XCX is.
You're like,
is, and I'm like, have you ever heard of poppers?
Have you ever heard of like, I just want you to think of like gay, just kind of as yeah, an kind adjective. Of
well, she got that.
Icon.
She actually got that
and,
part.
She and man.
And she goes, we like explain who it is. And she goes, oh, I knew it had to be something like that because there are all these special people walking around. There are all these special people.
And you want to know something? Every single one of those special people also believes they're special. And that's why they're called special people. Oh my God. That's actually
so funny
because she said that also like breaks it up into two types of people. One, genuinely special people who I want to dance with mm-hmm. to club classics. And then special people who are like, Aria, pick me. Like, I know I'm so special. Like, I'm different because I like Charlie XCX. But you've never heard of Brad? Like, they're like those people. Which one were you?
I was probably somewhere in the middle.
Man, you're such a nonconformist.
It's just like normal.
I'm just normal. I'm just kind of like normal. That's so funny. All these special people is hilarious.
And it's like, imagine this being the night that you are like in Nashville. You go down to Broadway. Because Bridgestone, if you haven't been to Nashville, Bridgestone is like truly in the thick of it all. You like don't even realize it's the arena until you're walking yes. up to it. So like, I can see how that would be kind of confusing to them. And also they're so in like, Nashville's the only part of Nashville really where like people are actually wearing cowboy boots and cowboy right. hats and like looking country right. So like they're like in that, and then suddenly they see all these people that are dressed like as whorish as they can be yeah. and like,
and that's a compliment.
Like if like I know that we think Brat Green is awesome, but like to the naked eye, eye is the ugliest shade of green you can think
that's
of.
That's insane. It's actually hard to fathom. What I want someone to make is like a Where's Waldo of outside Bridgestone Arena at the Sweat Tour. Okay, so in one corner we have a girl throwing up on the street because it's Brat. On the other corner we have people doing stick and poke tattoos while they're waiting in line to be searched. We have people doing bumps fucking everywhere. There are people spitting on the ground and looking it up and having their friends film them because they want to be like Charlie. There are people ripping off parts of their clothing because they're looking around and realizing they're not exposing enough skin. There are people piercing themselves. I'm not going to even say where because it doesn't matter where. They're doing piercings. And if you want one, you can have one. And of course, poppers. The whole place smells like poppers. You walk into the same block as Bridgestone Arena and like you have a head high. And you're like, what is this? It feels amazing. I feel the rush. That's what it feels like. And everyone's like really sweaty, has sweat marks, of course. No all one's wearing clothes. A bra, which is fine, of course, but you can see everyone's nipple piercings.
But it is special.
It's special. It's a little different than what we were seeing over here, you know? So, I mean, but that's home. What I just described, that's home.
Oh, it's so good.
That's family.
It was like a family. Me to the
family,
whole section.
Family. That literally me walking into the Sweat Tour that I didn't get to go to. Family, you're all family. You're all family. We're all family here. No, it's true. The things I would give, this is my dream and this isn't happening anywhere that I know of. But in my head, it's happening. Okay. Here's what I'm thinking of. New Year's Eve, Charlie XCX concert just for me and my friends at our trip.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Charlie, come on the pod.
Charlie, open invite on
always,
the pod.
Always.
Obviously.
Who do we have an open invite for on the pod? Charlie, Cat Pat, Matt Bowen.
Of course. And that's it.
Yeah, I think,
just kidding.
I think we need Alex Cooper. We take her for sure.
We take her. I would take Alex Earl because I like her.
Yeah, I like Alex Earl too. Jake Shane.
So I want to talk about my 30th birthday.
What were you going to say about Addie, though?
Oh, at her 30th birthday, which just happened, Kyle hired a magician to come.
Are you going to do that for yours?
No, I'm not going to copy her.
Okay, well, what if it was paying homage, too?
I'm going to come up with my own great idea. But so, like, let's talk, because we had talked about Coachella.
Yeah.
Which I still would love to do, but do you know that it's already sold out?
Listen, hey. Hey, festivals.
Did tickets even go on sale?
Tickets shouldn't be on sale until there's a lineup in my hands.
And I don't think that tickets did go on sale.
Then how is it already sold out?
I like feel like it's like all, I don't know. I went online to try it and it was like join the.
It's all fucking.
Like wait list or whatever.
Well, maybe that's left over from last year.
No, because it, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I'll double check.
It's because all fucking influencers, I know. Caroline and I are.
Yeah, but I really want to go. And I was like, that would be the perfect, because it's on my birthday every year. And like every year I get more and more tired. So like my years to go to Coachella are kind of dwindling.
Whoa.
Do you think?
Whoa.
Do you not think
you
could
fucking rally?
No, you're right. You're right. I should have said
that. I mean, if it was like, if the option to go to Coachella arose and you were 34.
No, I know. I just don't know who I'm going to be at 34. That's 5 years away from now.
Well, you're going to be a multimillionaire.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Award-winning podcaster.
Yeah, that's already true.
Actress, magician, model.
Okay. Okay, you know what? Doesn't sound so bad. No, I was thinking that, but if we don't go to Coachella, like, what could we do? Because it's also the pod's birthday.
Well, Mimi's not going to Disney anymore, so we go to Disney.
I don't want to really do that for my 30th birthday. I would love to, like, throw a huge party, but where? And would it would be, like...
Heinz Field.
It would be, like, okay, because it's the third birthday of the podcast and the third... I was going to say century. Third decade of moi.
Uh-huh. So the theme is three.
So the theme is three. And we have Britney Spears performing, and she just sings, one, two, three, and I love you and me.
Another open invite.
What do you think of the comparisons between Sabrina Carpenter and Britney Spears? I'm not really seeing it the same way.
No, I feel like it's just because they're blonde pop stars.
Tate is the Britney Spears of our generation.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I saw Danny put on his close friend story the other day. He was like, oh my God, Tate McRae is so fucking talented. Holy shit. Not a singer, but girl can dance. What a star. But that voice. But it doesn't matter because she's a star. Like, it was just like, I don't want to hear any criticism about her. She cannot sing, but she's a star.
I think that's how we kind of felt about Britney. And it's like,
exactly. It's like got that nasally, oh, baby.
Like, but it's like, it works for her.
Yeah. And it's like, when I hear her sing live, I'm like, wait, that's actually what you sound like? I thought it was like Charlie XCX were doing that in the stewed. You know what I do every time I put on deodorant? I always think of that video, Little Sweet Ava, the freaking Bats girl.
Yes, who just recently made a new TikTok.
Did she?
Oh, yeah, she's in high school. Can you believe that?
No, it's sickening. I love her. She provided me and Chloe with just so many laughs throughout college.
She's so funny.
Obviously, you all know the video we're talking about. It's freaking Bats. I love Halloween. It's so good. But she has a video where she's like pretending to be an adult. And she's like, okay, I gotta put my deodes on and loche. And she's just so like abbreviating funny. Everything, but I think loche is so funny. Putting on my deodes and loche.
She's awesome.
I love her. Anyway.
So what could you do?
For my birthday, yeah. Okay. Well, what do you think about doing like a joint party? But I like still really want it to be about me, you know, 30.
Right.
The problem is all my friends are everywhere. And that's the story of my memoir. All my friends are everywhere.
And that's how it feels being a podcaster.
And do you guys know that I did literally have a catchphrase for like most of my life that was do it for the memoir?
Guys.
And like that was like my whole thing. And everyone knew. And I had like working memoir titles.
Well, not everyone.
Kat Cohen now has all this merch. Do it for the memoir, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And a song.
And it's like she just put it out into the world first. But I've been doing that.
And that's a word to the creative.
Put it out there.
If you have an idea, put it out there.
Because someone else is going to, okay? It's probably a good idea. Whatever that idea is that you're like, oh, I don't know. It's probably good. You don't need to be waiting for, like, I was like, I need to wait for more life. Like, I need to wait to, like, live more years to write a memoir. It's like, I know, Caroline, you should have done it at 18.
Yeah.
Everyone would have been on the edge of their fucking seats reading your 18-year-old memoir.
Oh, and they would have been.
They honestly, yeah. Imagine I write a completely honest memoir at 18 and, like, our family, everyone reads it for the first time, and it's like everything is just true. Imagine that.
You would have gotten a publishing deal.
Could you imagine?
Well, actually, you might not have, because they would have said, this is unbelievable.
They would have said, okay, I know they say truth is stranger than fiction, but this is obviously all made up.
You know how like they'll be like, Hollywood's best writers couldn't have written this. And they could have
written this. They would have written it, and everyone would have been like, it's just like season 7 of Pretty Little Liars, like how we run out of storylines. And it's like, she's not even 18.
An audio message.
Oh, perfect. Play it. Don't play it in the mic.
Anyway, totally did.
Well, everyone wants us to talk about freaking voting.
Vote, everyone. Register.
Make sure you're registered to vote.
Make sure that you know what forms of ID are accepted at your polling stations.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure... I don't want to say this is... Make sure that your license isn't expired. If it is, make sure, you know, Google that. See
if it is. Google that.
If your license is expired.
Google, what do I do if my license is expired? Go to the DMV.
If your license is expired, Google your state's rules to make sure that you can vote with an expired license.
Yeah, guys, just don't fuck this up is what we're
don't
really
fuck
saying.
This up, okay? For me.
Please do not fuck this up. And if you haven't listened to Alex Cooper's interview with Kamala, I really think you should. I think it's amazing that Alex Cooper was able to do. I mean,
and I know that we give her shit a lot for her interview style, but I think she did. And I honestly, here's what I think about it. Clearly, she's such a hard worker. The TikToks were like,
yes.
So it was very clear that she just is like,
yes.
And I don't think we give her enough credit on that to begin with. But I do think that obviously this is the vice president. She prepped so much harder for this one.
Yeah.
Which I think it would be cool to see her. I think maybe that is showing that the prep for the other interviews hasn't necessarily been
right.
The same.
Right.
Because this interview, it was very, I was really impressed by her.
I think it's amazing, honestly. And I think she had a really big choice to make here. Just like she says, she has a really nice sort of preamble to the conversation where she says that, you know, she's like, here's what we talk about. We talk about women. And so I'm going to have a conversation with Madam Vice President that I would have with another woman, that I would have with somebody else.
Like,
nothing is off
week.
The table. Yeah, she was like, it's going to be like what we do every week. And my hope is that, you know, she's like, I understand I have people who are voting differently and all kinds of, you know, people listening to this podcast. My hope is that, like, you know, here, you're interested in these topics. Listen to someone who's a presidential candidate talk about them.
Yeah.
Like, this is a topic that's obviously incredibly important to you. How, like, we're spoiled to get to have 40 minutes of, you know, somebody who is, number one, such a spokesperson for women and untraditional women,
and
you
to
know,
talk about
being
like,
Alex Cooper. I mean,
in most of the interviews that they're going to do, like if Kamala did another interview with like Dana Bash or something, Dana Bash has to ask her questions about a bunch of different stuff. And Alex was able to use 40 minutes for her to just talk about policy that affects women, which is important because also, like, again, you know, I think it's clear how me and Caroline are probably voting, but what is most important is that you are educating yourself on the issues. And the fact that we don't normally get 40 minutes where a candidate is just going to talk about one issue.
I mean, typically we're like, oh, I wish they had more than 90 seconds because I'd love to hear them
exactly.
elaborate on this or
so
that.
We
and
have
we don't
this,
get that.
And Alex was clear that she would give that platform to Trump to do.
Yes.
And if he takes it up on that and you listen to that and that is what it is, that's what it's about. It's about listening to different conversations. Mm-hmm. And Alex, I mean, the amount of people that probably would never listen to a 40-minute interview of Kamala if it weren't for Alex Cooper. It's just really great. And likewise, if Trump were to go on it, the amount of people that wouldn't want to listen to a 40-minute Trump rally who would listen.
And that's what I told Phoebe. I'm like, if he were to say yes to this opportunity, like they reached out to his team and invited him to have the same conversation, which I think it's important to note. We will be having the same conversation, you know, about women. And I, for one, women is a major, major, major component of what I'm voting on, like what I'm making my decision on, which I'm comfortable, you know, with everyone knowing that I'm excited to vote for Kamala. And I am making that decision based on how I feel about women, my position as a woman, other women, all that. So, yeah, I would welcome the opportunity to hear him talk about that for a little bit, because I've only ever heard really fucking negative things in that respect. And maybe, you know what, like, let's give him a chance so that I know I'm making the educated decision when I go vote.
That's like, what it's all about,
you know. And if he doesn't take her up on that, that's honestly a shame, because it's also for a lot of his supporters who are like, well, it's not fair, you know, it's not fair, she's gonna get, he could have had,
which
this,
is why I'm really glad, you know, she did that preamble.
Me too, so that they
because
know
people,
that
like, a lot of the criticism was that she wasn't going to be willing to give Trump the same platform, and she made it clear that she was, which I think was also really big of her.
I
because
mean,
just like she's facing backlash from people that are Trump supporters for having Kamala on, if the order had been different and she was having Trump on,
oh my
people
God.
Would have been livid about that too.
Yes, yes.
So I just think that she's handled this really well. Mm-hmm. It was really brave, especially knowing,
I mean,
you know, she
really
came from the Barstool world.
Yes.
A lot of her listeners have been around for a long time, and this is just something that's important to her.
And it's so, that's why it's so powerful, because she is like our relatable queen. She does
for
her interviews in the hoodie, you know, in the messy bun.
And
she did this interview in a hoodie. And that's,
she's like,
she's
a,
bringing Kamala to us, meeting us where we are.
A common denominator between a lot of girls who are on all sorts of spectrums in terms of like beliefs, where they come from, socioeconomic background, all these different people. Alex is someone that we all
unites a lot of people. Yeah.
For the most part. And I think that, I don't know. I just thought it was really cool. And I think it is really exciting for Alex. I feel
I
like
know.
I'm just really proud of
I,
her.
I like honestly had chills like just in the bit when
it's
she's
so
like
cool.
greets her. I was just
and
like,
I was listening to Pod Save America a couple weeks ago after Trump went on the Theo Von podcast. And this was around the time that like it was like the peak of the criticism from the media that she wasn't doing a lot of interviews.
Uh-huh.
And John Pfeiffer, I can never remember his first name, one of them, was like, I think Tim Walz should go on Hot Ones. I think she should do Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
I think they should do XYZ, because that is...
I would love to see Tim Walz on Hot
and
Ones.
And I think that this week, going into this week of all the news that Kamala will be doing, is exciting, and it might even the playing field a little bit more, because Trump had been going on like... I think that... You know that girl who's like, this is my impression of... blank doing blank, and it's like the most like just baseline impression, like she's so funny. She's like, okay, this, she goes, this is my impression of Trump's team after seeing that Kamala is on Call Her Daddy. Okay, Trump, I do think it's time for you to go on Talk Tua. And I think later this week we might get that announcement.
Oh my god, you know Nick Vile is like punching the air right now. Which I love, because you know what, every now and then, again this morning I was like, what do I want to listen to? I have to go for like a 15-minute car ride. What do I want to listen to? And I was like, well, Nick has a new episode. I'll just turn it on, whatever. I turn it on and just, it's an Ask Nick episode. Phoebe, immediately, I'm just so turned off by him. So here's what it was, okay? This girl calls in and she's like, so I am 24. I live with my parents and I'm dating someone who is like kind of famous. And he goes... Okay,
what's kind of famous?
Did you listen?
No, is that what he said?
He goes, okay. Like with his like shitty little laugh. He goes, yeah, so what does kind of famous mean to you?
Because Nick's like, some people think I'm kind of
famous.
The
way that he said it, he's like, as if like, yeah, right, this guy's not famous. And she was like, he's like, is he an athlete? She's like, no, not an athlete. He's like a, you know, musician, actor person and whatever. And he's like, okay, like, D list, like what? And she's like, D, maybe like C. I don't know. He's like a pretty substantial social media following, whatever. And he's like, okay, so I don't understand. Like, what's your question? And she's like, well, I live at home and I'm like just trying to figure out how to navigate this or whatever. And he's like, okay, this is a you problem. That's what he said.
Every problem that someone calls into is a you problem.
And he's like, I think you're like projecting and blah, 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 blah. Like, just, he was just like so shitty. And I was reminded almost immediately why I took time off. I just...
He's such a jerk.
He just comes off as such a jerk, dude. And it's really getting harder and harder for me to deal with it, if we're being honest.
I agree. So all that to say, congratulations, Alex Cooper, on being the queen of podcasting.
Yeah.
The king of podcasting.
For now.
Right.
For
I'm comfortable
now
with her. There, okay, at the moment.
Okay, fine.
As
me
long
too.
As it's not Nick.
As long as it's not Nick. Sorry, I don't know why I said like Count Dracula. Okay, so you're almost finished with your first Big Brother season.
Yeah.
How
and
has
I'm bored
it been for you? Let's
right
reflect.
Now.
I know I am too. This part does usually get boring, except for not last season, but the season before. We had a showmance that was crazy. So let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
Taylor, who won, okay? She and this guy, Joseph, who's like just the best. Everyone loves Joseph. They had this like flirtation. They were each other's number one, but nothing ever happened. They were like so nice to each other and just like loved each other. And people fucking hated Taylor. And it was like, it was kind of like the Angela thing where it's like, how is she still here? everyone in the house hates her and like wants her out. And no one had a reason to not like her. They just like did. It was kind of like, oh, pretty girl, let's hate on her vibes.
Yeah.
They hated her like immediately. And so every week it would be Taylor on the block and someone else. And then that person would go home and they started calling her like the assassin, because it was like, didn't matter who it was. If you were on the block with her, you were going home. Like that was it for sure. And if you put her on the block, you would be going home too. Like, it was crazy. She ended up winning and she won America's Favorite Player. America loved her and no one in the house fucking knew. Everyone's like, oh, when they get
were
out
they
of
shocked?
Here.
Shocked?
Yes. Like on camera, people are having conversations like, when everyone gets out of here and they like, and we get to watch back, like America's got to be like, hey, she's going to be like, oh my God, I'm such a bitch. Like everyone thought it was going to be a different way. So she and Joseph like are having this major flirtation. It seems like it's going to happen. Janky world, you know, from this season. They did, but they split it up. So half the house was inside half was outside. So she and Joseph were separated for a week. And they eliminated him. So she never gets to say goodbye to him. Nothing. He's gone. And everyone in the house tells her that he threw her under the bus, told them everything, like all this stuff.
Why would they want to do that if they're he's
to, like,
a jury?
Break her. To break her.
Wow.
And she like break. She can't believe it. She's like, I can't believe he would do that to me. Like she was like heartbroken. She's crying, like heartbroken over it. She's like, okay, turned against him basically. She's like, all right, fuck him. Like, and fuck that alliance. Like, she's like, the whole alliance she was with, she's done with. She ends up having a final like three showmance with this other guy named Monty, who had been in the house the whole time talking shit on Taylor, saying nasty things about her. And then he was the one who tried to turn her against Joseph. They get together, have sex, like in the shower. They're like hooking up. It's all over the cameras. And then like they get out and she watches back and sees everything he was like saying about her. Even when they were like hooking up, he's like, yeah, Taylor's like so vapid. Like she's so like all this awful shit. And Joseph was enjoying whatever. And she ends up winning. And it was like her against him, the guy she was sleeping with. And the jury picked her. And Joseph knew that they had started hooking up. Like, he was aware of it. And he was like, I understand. And then he and Taylor dated for, like, at least a year after.
Joseph and Taylor?
Mm-hmm. And they actually, I feel like, randomly got back together. Or they're still friends. But they were together recently. I don't know. But, like, that was a really exciting one. Because
that sounds awesome. Now it's just, like, I wish they had kept.
These people just aren't exciting to watch. They're the best. Well, they're not even the best game players. Cam, did you watch last night?
No.
Okay. Can I tell you what happened? I mean, yeah. Obviously. Okay. So we're doing the veto.
Uh-huh.
And he's just so fucking stupid. Like, the competition was, it was for HOH. The competition was, they show you three columns of code and you had to find the word in there from Ainsley. So it was like robots forever or something would be like in all these symbols and letters and whatever. I need to find it. And then you would press the button to show which column you thought the code was in. And whoever pressed it first got a point if you pressed the right one. If you didn't press the right one, you whatever. So Cam is like talking. He's like, yeah. And immediately I find out it's in row B, but my finger just slipped and I accidentally hit C. And he just like hit the wrong one.
He is him stacking.
And I'm like, are you throwing?
On that game when they were stacking the candy and like the ice cream or whatever, and he's trying to balance the ice cream cone on the point like, of the cone.
He is, and the way that Chelsea and Mackenzie like actually want to throttle him, because they're like, we've literally carried you here. And they can see the writing on the wall. Mackenzie said to Chelsea, she was like, this is what's going to happen. He's going to win. And he's going to be like, I played the best game. I didn't make anybody mad. I threw all these comps and like I got carried to the end and then I fucking put it out and won. And that was my strategy. And he's going to say that. And that's not a strategy.
No.
He is sheer seat of his pants, Roxy Andrews, Drag Race vibes getting here.
It's really annoying. I'm tired of Mackenzie feeling like she's playing the game.
I know.
Even though she is the best player.
Right now, I see her doing lots of thinking and scheming. Because, four people in the house.
Now she has to.
Isn't that insane, though, to think, like, because Chelsea's like, okay, I'm putting on the block. I put Cam and Mackenzie. And she was like, I mean, it's not up to me who goes home. Like, all of us will be playing in the veto. Whoever wins the veto is going to, like, secure
their
fate.
Is it because Rubina's easier to beat?
She now is doing jury management. So she was like, I'm going to tell Cam, like, Cam hasn't been up, basically. Like, I have to put him up. I put both Rubina and Mackenzie on the block as pawns.
Yeah.
So she tells Cam that, and then she basically, like, told Rubina and Mackenzie. She was like, I mean, you guys can work it out if you want and choose. Like, one of you has to go up. And yeah. I honestly don't care who it is. And she wanted to make it as much as, like, this isn't a personal decision. I'm just, like, doing this because I have to. So that whoever ends up getting eliminated because of it might not vote her out. I don't know. I mean, I think Chelsea's going to... It's going to be Chelsea or Mackenzie, I think.
I think so, too.
And...
I do think Chelsea's the best game player, so I wouldn't...
I would say Chelsea or Mackenzie would deserve to win out of the four that are there.
Oh, absolutely, out of the four. Mm-hmm. Rubina can't win a challenge. Cam does not deserve to be there. Rubina's a better game player than Cam.
Yes, absolutely.
But she still sucks at the competitions.
I wonder, yeah. It'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting because we'll get to see the jury deliberations. And
dude, and why? What? Do they use a completely different camera for jury?
I think they're all just like showered. Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
And the lighting. Probably, I mean, it looks like they're like in the good place. Like,
it does. You're so right. And I think that they are. There's like a pool. It's like nice. Like, well, there was a pool at the Big Brother house too, but it's like a different...
Would you want to... Because you've said this before, but did you really mean it? You wouldn't want to be... You would want to lose before jury, or you'd have to win.
I did used to say that. I don't know. I mean, I think it's easy to say that now. Once I'm on the show, of course, and I have these existing relationships, I'm like... not gonna want to not be in jury. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna want to be part of that last decision, and you're like, you get to hang out with the people more and not go back to real life, but also like, you still don't have anything, and you're just like, so like, if it were a bunch of people that fucking hated me, no, I would not want to be in the jury house.
Right. But do you think that the people, when Angela was the second one voted out, do you think they were a little bit like...
Yes. 1,000%. Yes. Did we get to see that? Did we see their reactions when they walk in?
Yeah, and I think they all acted excited. I mean,
because they're being...
Because also Angela's, like, so excited about everything.
Oh, my God. I wonder if... Do you think Leah and Quinn are hooking up? Dude, the thought is crazy.
Leah saying, I have to say, the thought of a crush on Quinn was never that crazy.
You know, she admitted she had a crush on him before he got voted out.
She said that to Quinn. Angela, like, asked about it.
And Angela was like, no way, which is like ego blow to Quinn for sure.
But also, Quinn, come on.
Are you caught up on Survivor?
Not entirely.
It is so entertaining. I love this little musical theater boy.
On which tribe?
Andy's tribe.
Yes.
And he's the one who's like lost Andy.
Yes.
Not okay. I'm sorry. It's so laughable. Not Andy finding the item being like... Also, does he know, like, I know the cameras are following you everywhere you go. You don't have to, like, look at them and talk to them about everything you do. It's so fucking...
They're not there to help you.
No, they're not there to help you. They're not there to be your friend or even talk to you. Like, they're just there to film what you're doing. You don't have to look in the camera and speak. Like, when he finds it, he goes, oh, I need to make a big decision. I need to think. I need to do some thinking now. And then starts, like, walking away. Like, he's trying to get away from the camera. Like, dude, sorry. I hate to break it to you. The camera's going nowhere. But him leaving it there so he could think... And then my little MT boy finding it.
I know. And then there was the other tribe where like they split up to one part of the idol was found by one alliance and the other part of the idol. And then they both like kind of talked to each other and realized that, well, one of them realized that the other people found it. The second part of it first.
Oh, and so they're... Yeah, because that was the one with... was his name Romeo?
Yeah, I think it was the red... Romeo's so annoying.
He's driving me fucking crazy.
I was glad TK got sent home.
How funny, though, him showing it to Teeny and then Teeny immediately showing it to someone else and then him walking up on them.
So funny.
I was like, this is... What would you have done? Like...
I could never go on Survivor, that's what.
No, I will never go on Survivor. No. What else? What else do we have to talk about?
Well, we've been watching Grotesquery.
Well, Phoebe's been watching it, really.
With Mr. Kelsey. And I think he's doing kind of a good job.
Oh, my God. You know, Taylor was so cute. And they probably had, like, a little watch party for their friends. And it was, like, the Kelsey family and the kids. And, like, Taylor hosted and cooked. You know, she cooked and baked.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Cute. Yeah, no, he's doing well.
I'm not sure about the show. I'm certainly not sure about the four-minute Jesus Christ Superstar number, which... I said to Caroline, reminded me of like what I would envision it being like when my mom picked Caroline up for musical theater class after Asher hadn't been online all day.
Oh my God, let me set the scene. Wait, you're not even going to mention the Facebook status I sent you from 16 years ago?
Oh my God. 16 years ago, you were like in middle school.
Yes, I was in eighth
grade. That's such a like high school thing to say, I feel like.
Well, thank God I was in middle school, because it's mortifying. If I was still doing that shit in high school, I would hope.
No, but I mean, like, when Facebook was in that era, that feels like a more of a, that's a mature thing to say. It's not mature to do.
Okay, hey guys, this is not a mature thing to say. I made my Facebook status in 2008. I made my Facebook status, Caroline Connell is waiting for him to get online.
That's so funny.
You said that's a mature thing to say. Funny. How? Elaborate on that, please. That's a mature thing to say.
It just feels, I think it's like mature verbiage.
Is waiting for him to get online?
Well, I just think that getting on, I don't know.
Getting online is pretty mature. You can't do it if you're a toddler.
Well, yes.
Actually, you can. iPad. Don't throw shit at me. He was getting violent. Great. It's that time of the pod. I forgot when we record IRL, you start hitting me and throwing things at me.
Literally, what else do we have to talk about?
My car got stolen last week, but it's been recovered, so it's no longer a concern.
Good to know. Thanks for keeping us in the loop. Was your car unlocked?
I'm so sorry your car got stolen. Listen to this. At the wedding we were at, the groom's car got, quote, broken into. It wasn't actually broken into because the car was left unlocked, and I accidentally broke the news to the father of the bride. And the father of the bride gave the car to the groom.
The father of the bride thought that the car was locked.
Had been broken into.
So that was kind of the hysteria around that. And Caroline said, yeah, can you believe he left it unlocked?
No, that is not what happened. Mr. Crowley was like, I just don't know who would want to steal this car. I used to drive this car around all the time, and I thought no one's going to want to steal this hunk of junk. And I said, yeah, I just think it might have been the only car that was unlocked. And he said, wait, it wasn't unlocked. And then he decided to mention that in his wedding speech as well.
So funny.
That I'm the one who ratted him out. Luckily, Evan just like doesn't care about a thing on earth. So and
it's very endearing.
It's very endearing. It's very endearing.
Because literally he comes out. We were like on this like patio at the wedding, and it was overlooking the parking lot where his car was.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes outside and he goes, guys, take a look at all of those cars. All those cars that could be broken into.
That could be broken into at any moment. I mean, I'm sorry. Imagine if that had happened to me on my wedding day.
Guys.
Who knows?
It would have been the start. You know when people are like, women shouldn't be president because...
Oh, they're too emotional.
Because they're too emotional. And you never know what could happen. And that's kind of like, I don't know if the world, the human race would have survived the joint diva slay of my mom realizing that her favorite, the only shampoo that works on her hair being missing from the shower.
Yeah.
That combined with Caroline realizing that her car was broken into the day of her wedding.
Yeah. And can you believe one of those things did actually happen?
Yeah. And thank God. Because if the fact that, thank you for not breaking into Caroline's car, because the world wouldn't have survived.
Yeah. Thank you guys for that. Honestly, thank you. Someone asked for freshman year of college horror stories or like advice.
Here I have one.
Oh, Phoebe immediately is ready.
I have one. I have a horror story. So Picture this, and this, you know, the odds of this happening are so slim, probably could never happen. Picture this. You are a freshman. You're starting to meet people. It's second semester. You've decided to go into recruitment. You decided to join a sorority. You're nearing spring break, and the day before spring break, you have big little ceremony. You meet your big and like your grand big and your whole family, and things are really looking up for you. And so you go home, and then suddenly you start getting headlines on your phone that are like, there's this thing going around in like New York, but no one needs to worry about it right now. Some people are starting to get sick.
Oh,
and then
I was like, what the fuck is
And
she
then
talking
you like
about?
Get an email like the Friday of your spring break from your school saying, hey everyone, We're gonna keep you guys at your wherever you are for spring break for 2 more weeks, and then we're gonna welcome you back onto campus. And then the entire world shuts down for 4 months. That's my freshman year horror story. Right as soon as you start to make friends,
you also kind of struggled, yeah, socially.
There's a pandemic. That's what I'm saying, though.
We mentioned that as well.
Right as I'm starting to make friends. Of a pandemic, and then that leads into sophomore year where every extracurricular is online.
Oh my God. Okay, so
count your blessings.
There's that. Well, okay. Anyway, my freshman year. Well, there are some horror stories from freshman year that I won't tell on this episode, but I'll tell you a horror story. Okay, I move into the Honors College dorm and College of Charleston campus. What?
I love this
story.
Story.
Oh. Okay, I move in. with my BFF Chloe, and of course we immediately put in a request to have bunk beds so that we have more space for activities. We get a futon. We're very proud of Buse 402. That was our room, fourth floor, no elevator. Actually, there
it was on the first floor.
No, it wasn't. It was on the fourth floor. My dorm, like for the rest of the time after Kelly House, was on. I had a first floor dorm for like 1 year, 2 years.
I don't remember any stairs going into that room.
In Buist?
Yeah.
Four flights of steps. There was, I think maybe actually there was an elevator, but I'm telling you, it was Buist 402.
Wow.
So anyway, then like a month in, I had auditioned for some shows, got cast. So I was like really, really busy, and Chloe was not as busy. And so Chloe was kind of having like a hard time, and we get this email that's like, stage 5, code red, get out now. Oh my God, the house isn't safe. our dorm, knowing it's the oldest dorm on campus, is literally filled with asbestos and water damage. And they're like, if you don't get out now, who knows, is basically what they're saying. But I, and my thespians will understand this, I was in tech week, not really the time for me to have to pack up. Also, we had just, I mean, it was like 1 month in, like we had just moved in. So, but like not to say that things were still in boxes. Like I was very much nested, okay? Because Chloe rushed to sorority basically only so that we could move in a week early. And so she moved in a week early, and then I would go like every day and put a few more things there. So we kind of were like moved in pretty quick. And then she dropped and it was perfect. Anyway, Chloe's like, okay, my parents are coming down. We're going to look at apartments, because the other thing was the College of Charleston did not have enough room for us to go anywhere else. So they were
so
like,
crazy.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay
they
here.
They really should have been paying you a stipend.
Well, so some kids could go live in the hotel, the like Holiday Inn where the old Citadel.
Oh my God, wait, fun.
That Embassy Suite. Or no, not Holiday. It's an Embassy Suite. Yeah. People were living there.
That'd be so
but
fun.
But they were like, we'll only like pay for you to live there for whatever. And also,
that's such a fun hotel.
They were like, we can't guarantee you'll live with Chloe. And I was like, well, that's insane. Not happening. That's insane. And also, where's all my shit going to go? Where's the futon going to go? You know, it's not going to fit in the hotel room. So we had to like figure out something for that too. So mom and dad, of course, are like, well, we just want to wait to see what the school does. Like, Chloe's found an apartment at this point. Her parents have come down and looked at it with her. I've built an entire PowerPoint convincing mom and dad that I should move into this apartment with Chloe. And they're like, no, no, we're going to wait to see what the school does. No, no, no. We like have a meeting with the dean of the Honors College. We're like, listen, you need to put me and Chloe together somewhere. And she's like, I can't promise that. So Chloe moves out, moves into the apartment. I don't. I stay. And they're like, you know what? Psych. Only half of you have to leave. Half of you can stay. So I actually ended up living alone in a single.
It really worked
out. Still
had
the bunk beds.
Of course.
But I slept on the bottom. And yeah, and I lived alone for the rest of freshman year. And somebody did come and ask me if they could live with me. It was like right around Christmas break. And this girl comes and knocks on my door. And she's like, hey, like my roommate and I, like I just, we don't really like gel. And I know you have a single. So I was like wondering, can I move in here in January? And I imagine me, I like she hit my door. This wasn't even like a Facebook message.
You should have said, wait, Chloe,
Chloe,
are you showing up
Chloe,
next
are
semester?
You moving out? Are you moving out, Chloe? I'm sorry. I'm not single. Hey, I'm in a relationship.
You open the door. You're like, I have bunk beds.
I open the door. I'm like, gang's all here. She's like, there's literally no one else in there. I'm like, wait. Hey, Allison, you might want to go to health services. There are some people in here. But I literally was like, yeah, let me just like think about it for a little bit and I'll get
and
back to you.
And you never said anything?
No, so I that was my plan. I was like, I'm going to leave for Christmas break. I'm not going to say anything. Surely she'll drop this. I was honestly stunned she like was brave enough to come knock on my door and ask me that. Like we weren't even friends on like social media. And so then she adds me on social media over Christmas break and she's like, hey, did you like figure it out? Can I move in January? And I was like, girl, I'm so sorry. No, I was like, I've lived alone for the past however many months. I'm not going to be able to have a roommate now. No, sorry. Because also I wasn't having to pay for a single. Like they were like, because of our bad, we're just going to leave. And mom was like, well, if they start charging us for a single, then that girl's moving in. But mom was like, if they're not, then hell no. Like she was, I felt, can you actually shock it and say yes?
Yeah, me too.
You know, but.
Wow.
So I got the whole
so
year.
So it sounds like you just told a horror
but
story
then,
for another girl in her freshman
well,
year.
Well, it was a horror story for a little while there. Like, and I didn't get to live with Chloe anymore.
And that
Chloe
is a
and I lived
story.
Together for a month and then we didn't get to. And she had to live alone in that fucking apartment too, which like sucked.
Did it?
I mean, yeah, she wanted a roommate.
Oh, crazy.
But then what else happened my freshman year? Oh, I'll tell you. I broke my foot. I was in a show called Dancing at Lunasa, and I walked onto stage during tech, and I broke my little foot. And then I had to go to the hospital, and this boy who had a crush on me took me and had to hold a jar of my pee. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
And then Caroline had to do the whole thing in a wheelchair.
Yes, I did. But the worst part about that was that I was non-weight-bearing for a little bit, and I was on crutches, and I lived alone on the fourth floor of this decrepit building. And I think I've told the story how like they came around for room cleanliness checks and I like didn't pass. I was like, I'm hopping around on one leg trying to clean this room. Like, believe me, nobody knows it's a liability more than me going sliding around here on my crutches, hopping around on one foot. So then I started hanging out with this guy and he would come over and I'd be like, can you tidy up? And he would. So,
wow.
But that was pretty rough. Me having to be on like pain meds for a little bit and still going to class on the fucking herringbone brick pattern on College of Charleston campus, yeah, on those crutches.
I can't imagine that actually.
Like horror. And that's it's like 900 degrees also. And I'm wearing like a full boot. Like it was horrible. And then I had to go home and get my bone removed that summer.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
And simultaneously,
so did this answer all your questions?
Do pre-calculus online.
Between getting a bone removed, asbestos, water damage, and a global pandemic, did we answer your questions for freshman year horror stories?
Guys, I literally have more. I just won't tell them.
And they're obviously like I was an RA for freshman. I mean, just... My advice to freshmen is join stuff.
That is the advice. I think, I don't know if I've talked about, but I just mentioned that like Chloe had kind of a hard time, which is funny because Chloe is very popular in high school and she was never had any trouble socially. So like it can really, like, it really happens to everybody. Like it is a universal experience that you have to be a little bit uncomfortable.
You. Don't let your friends trick you when you come home and everybody's acting like college is the best thing in the world.
No.
And everybody's struggling. Yeah, everybody might be partying. Everybody might be having fun.
If they're not struggling in the beginning, they will be. Because it was like Chloe and I flip-flopped. Like, semester one, I mean, I'm not kidding. I auditioned for shows, I think, like, third day of, like,
yeah, and I
there.
Do feel like what happens is, like, and you'll notice this. You've probably already experienced this October. But especially freshman year is, like, through orientation and everything, there will be these, like, groups of, like, 50 freshmen.
50 kids.
Who are like best friends.
We're all best friends.
They're going out every weekend. They're doing all
they're finding the 18 plus clubs you can go to.
Exactly. They're sitting at the CAF together. And then by senior year,
none of them
have like even seen each other since the first week of freshman year.
And those friends are vital. You need them.
Or if you don't.
Well, that's true. Sorry. It's so true. Chloe, we had a group of like six girls who like nothing happened at all for none of us to like really be friends anymore. But it was definitely like a convenience thing.
Yeah.
And I immediately had like this built-in group of friends because I was in rehearsal every night. So it was like I had shit to do. There was cast bonding.
That's why you got to join that stuff.
Yes. And so Chloe, I'd be like, come with me. But like, if you're not a theater person, there's only so much you can take. Like she came to like almost everything.
And that's a good sport.
Like she... so then it was just whatever. And so I know I've said that I like made her sign up to be a tour guide, which it is kind of funny. Like if you meet Chloe, she doesn't give super like tour guide vibes.
Yeah.
So she was a little skeptical, but I was like, seriously, I've met some awesome people in theater who are tour guides and it sounds like the most fun shit ever. Like let's do it.
And she loved it, right?
Yeah. And that's, she has got still her like best friends from college or like people from C40 from the tour guide association. Yeah. And she was so reluctant. I had to sign her up to do it.
That's wild.
Write her name and send her a picture and say, be there this day. Like we're both going to be there.
Oh my gosh. Caroline. Caroline is America's big sister.
Well, yeah. But like sometimes that's like what you need. And she was like, I don't know if I'm going like until the day of, she like didn't know if she's going to go. And what's also Chloe's going to hate that I'm like putting her on blast. But for the tour guide group too thing, for the tour guide group thing as well, you had to obviously like try out. Like it was, it was actually very rigorous.
It was prestigious.
Yes. So it was a whole weekend you had to have free. And it was like Friday night. You were given like a segment of the college that you had to prepare a tour on. So I think I had like Addlestone and you go on a mock tour and they have like 10, kids, whatever per group. And you go and they stop at each place you would stop on a tour and they're like, okay, go ahead, give your like tour. And you do that and that's whatever. And then if you make it past that round, the next day you go in for like interviews. So I go in for like my one-on-one interview and I give them my resume and I brought them like a professional resume and a theater resume. And they were like, Shakira impersonation. So obviously I did my Shakira impersonation. And then they like had us all sit in a group and they go around like, if you were an emoji, what would you be?
Classic.
Like all things like that. And then there's like this secret third round that's like, if they're not totally sure about you. And Chloe got asked to go to the third round and I did not. It's called the cistern round. Because the cistern is the hardest thing to talk about because you have to talk about like four different buildings. It's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of dates. So I didn't get called for the cistern round. And I was like, either I didn't get it or I did. And I
right.
like, they're not worried. But Chloe like gets called in for the cistern round. She was pissed. She's like, I'm not fucking going to that. Are you kidding me? I have to prep this whole thing. This is bullshit. She was so mad. But she goes and she did it. And there were some people that now she's friends with who were like, yeah, we didn't want. We were like, no, she can't. And like, she proved them wrong and we both got in. And like, we get super fun phone calls. I imagine it's sort of like sororities. You don't have like a day where you all are in like an area, but they call me like, welcome to C40. It was sort of like a mixture because it was boys and girls.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of like very preppy kind of people. So it felt very
right.
Greek life, even without being in Greek life. But what's so funny, now I'm just talking about college, sorry. But I ended up dropping out of C40. Chloe stayed forever. I dropped when Clyde was president. Clyde, my best friend,
he said not this
was
guy.
President. And I will never forget, like, we first of all, I was like, God damn it. Like, Clyde is president. Oh, my God, he and I don't get along, whatever. It's my junior year, and I, like, have all these rehearsals. I'm in all these shows, and I can't go to the Monday. The Monday meetings were, like, 6:30, and Monday rehearsals always start at, like, 5:30.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't go. And Clyde knew what I was doing. He was like, sorry, like, if you can't make this a priority, like, you can't be in C40. And he sent this email to, like, all of C40.
Oh my God.
It was like the meanest email I'd ever had in my life. Like Chloe and I are calling each other like, can you fucking believe that day I turned in my, I was like, fuck him. I remember calling mom being like,
what did he say? Yeah.
I said, I texted
but
Clyde
what did
and
he
I
say?
Said, the email was like about people missing the meetings and like not being dedicated to C40. I mean, it was like we called him a dictator. That's what it felt like at the time. But also we weren't friends. So like we were, and more than not friends,
guys,
we were
if
enemies.
If Caroline had been friends with Clyde when he sent that email, she and him would have
been
behind the keyboard together.
Yes, literally, how many of those emails
guys,
have
it
we sent
been
since?
Quinn Fabre and Santana Lopez in the gym
writing
bullying
comments
Rachel
on,
Berry.
On her YouTube channel. Yes. Exactly. But that's like a great example, like Chloe though, in this, because it's like she, high school was so good for her. She never thought it was not going to be good for her going to Charleston. It's the only school she applied to. She applied early decision. It's the only place she wanted to go.
Wow.
And then, like, she had a tough time. But then second semester started being amazing for her. And second semester for me was when I broke my foot. And I was going through some stuff. And it was, like, really hard for me. I had a really hard second semester. So I do think just because someone is having a great freshman year at first, it does not mean it will stay that way. Like,
and some people,
so
just
much happens. Listen to how many things Phoebe and I just talked about. That all happened during our freshman years.
Some people will never be honest when they're having a tough time either.
Freshman
and if
years
you are, that good on you. That's how I was.
Yes.
I like came home from break and I was like, guys, this sucks.
And it's hard because everyone wants it to seem like they're doing better than they are. I'll never forget when my friend was at CCM for musical theater and came home and I was like, so how is it? And it was his like freshman year and he was like, can I be honest? Like, it's not good. Like he was like, I don't like it's because they had a very, I don't know if they still do, but they had a very like break you down and build you up kind of thing. And like,
yeah.
He was like, it's not good for me. Like, but I can't say that cause I'm so lucky to be there.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. College is such an insane time. I also met some of my best friends in the world. Like, Peter and Addie,
uh-huh.
I met freshman year of college and like, and obviously.
Yeah. Jules GC, shout out.
Yeah, like those people.
My
you
mom
know.
Actually introduced me to Jules. She
really?
Made us become friends.
I remember, did GC come visit us at the house?
Yeah.
I remember that.
But
you guys weren't really friends at that time.
No, we were friends.
But wasn't it like early freshman? It was like, I feel like you guys.
I think it was. I don't know. We were all, they were like my only friends.
I think there was an energy that Phoebe didn't really have any friends and we were really hoping this was like going to be a great friendship. I think that's actually what I was told. So maybe you didn't realize that mom maybe was like, I just really want this to be like a good friendship for Phoebe. And it already was, and mom's like worried about it. So.
But Jules was walking back from the shower, and mom was like, mom bought me like a door thing to keep my door open, which my roommate, I would be in there and have my door open. My roommate would come in and shut the door.
And good for her. And I'd, hey, mom, that was crazy.
I was trying to make friends.
I know, but why didn't mom just do what she did for me, which was she all, mom made, okay, well, here are some George O'Connell tips.
Well,
for
she
freshmen.
Did this for me too, the candy?
Yeah.
She did that for me too, but some people aren't, I'm not making friends that way.
Well, me either, because I would hear the little scavengers out there. Okay, here are some of George O'Connell's advice for freshmen in college if you want to make friends. Mom put a little like command hook on the front of our door, okay, our dorm room door, and she would get a seasonal like basket of some sort. Like, so it started at Halloween, so it was just like a little jack-o'-lantern trick-or-treating thing. And then every holiday, she would send me like an updated
bucket,
you know, bucket or whatever for the door. And then she would get me candy to put in it. And she would say, this way people will know that, like, you have the candy and they'll all want to come. It's actually so cute.
It is.
And they'll all want to come to your door. And then you can open the door and say hi. And that's how you'll make friends. And it's like, everyone.
Do you hear something so sad?
Yeah.
Mom told me that I should make cookies in the Hale kitchen.
I remember you did this.
And there was a Kroger that was walkable from my dorm. And I walked to that Kroger and I bought, this makes me want to cry.
Oh my God.
And I walked and I bought cookie dough.
No, the thought of you doing this is like so sad.
And then I walked back in and I made the cookies. And I did end up making plans through doing that mm-hmm. weekend though.
Well, that's good.
I didn't really maintain those friendships.
But still.
But like, I did like make those friends. Like, exactly. Yeah. And like we sat in the lobby and watched a movie that
and
night.
These are good
and
tips,
then we
by
made
the way.
Plans. But it is just like sad to think of me walking to that Kroger. Oh my God, I don't go to that Kroger.
But now you can't. It's got too many memories.
Well, yeah.
Oh my God. That is, well, it was that. So that cooking, baking cookies, we didn't have like a kitchen, but we had, obviously we did the candy thing, but then mom was like, what you need to do is go in the common room with a big bag of tortilla chips and salsa.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she was like, I think that's something that KK told her. Like at school, she was like, everyone loves chips and salsa. It's like the communal like food. And like you can always, and actually I'm gonna cry now thinking of this because my girl MK, who I always talk about, she had a tough freshman year. She came in and she just was having a tough year. And she's like my little mini me, and I like took her under my wing.
Yeah.
And I just adore her. I still like would die for her. I love her so much. But I remember bringing her over. I mean, I had chips and salsa. If I had nothing in my fridge, I had chips and salsa
right. All
the time. And she would come over and I would open the chips and salsa and we would just sit there and she'd cry and she'd talk about her shit and I'd cry. We'd talk about whatever. And so now still like she'll say to me like, she calls me mom. She's like, mom, I wish we could just like have some chips and salsa.
That's so
and, like,
sweet.
But like the fact that like mom told, I don't even know if she knows that like mom was like, this is like
I know.
The cure. Like this, and this is how you're going to like talk to people
it's
and
so
make
true.
Friends. Like it's like breaking bread over chips and salsa.
Well, I also think that, and it's different at every school where I was a freshman and where I was a freshman RA, my first year being an RA, lobby culture was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So like as RAs, we would like sit in the lobby and watch The Bachelor and order. There's Tiff's Treats in Nashville. No, Tiff's Treats is they'll deliver freshly baked cookies. And I'd order that and I'd have like two, or like sometimes mom would order it for me and we'd have like 3 dozen freshly baked cookies in the lobby with The Bachelor on. And we had like 1 all-boys dorm and then 2 all-girls dorms like in a row in the historical part of campus. And so it was a nice way to like bring the boys and the girls together. Like
mm-hmm.
it was like this communal thing. It was great. So that's another thing. Like just hang out in the lobby. If you are in a dorm or in an area where there's a lobby culture,
yeah,
you will meet someone that you can be friends with.
Yes.
If not even like just a desk worker and an RA to talk to for the night.
What sucked about like where I lived is there was like a common room on the 4th floor.
Yeah.
But no one went in there and we didn't really have like a lobby. But the thing is, like all the honors kids were studying. Like they weren't.
Guys, like, Caroline was with the losers.
I was. I lived in the honors housing and like everyone there was, no one was social. No one was like really out like in the lobby hanging out. So I never really did the chips and salsa thing there, but it would be like I'd invite people over and we'd have chips and salsa and that was like whatever. Mom's so cute, always teaching us like how to be a good host and like make friends and whatever. But I mean, what I really realized like through Phoebe, through Chloe and through myself is like getting involved. Yeah. That's going to fix everything and it's going to be like a scary moment, especially if you're not into Greek life, but it's also like not too late to get into it. And I mean, Phoebe didn't wait that long, but like could you even do it?
First semester? At Belmont, it was a spring recruitment, which was really nice because if it had only been fall recruitment, I wouldn't have rushed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I was interested. And I had a semester to realize that making friends was, I knew it was going to be hard. I was really anxious.
Phoebe never struggled though, like in high school. Really.
Yeah, high school was easy, but I knew college would be hard.
But it does seem to be that those are the people who do struggle more in college. And really had a good time with it in high school. But if you have an activity, if you have an activity or a sport or something, and like the other thing is, here I am like, oh, go get involved with theater. I was so fucking lucky to get cast in those shows. There were a million freshmen who didn't get cast in those shows.
Yeah, but join Res Life, join student council.
Yes.
I was in student activities. There are so many things on campus.
And then you meet
everything
someone.
Has a group. And honestly, I can't recommend being an RA enough. Obviously, sometimes it's hard, but that's where I met my best friends. And there was nothing better than living in a building where like my friends were just always like right there or down at the desk. I knew I could go hang out with people or like even work didn't really feel like work. It's a built-in group of friends.
Yes.
And like some of the hard parts of college can be remedied by being in that kind of group.
It's also really important that the people in your res hall and whatever, like, know you and know who you are and, like, that you're friendly and whatever because they can help you in times when you may need it.
These are your business connections in the future. That's what Belmont always told us.
Well, that is a good point.
They would say, look to your left and look to your right. These are the people that you're going to be working with for the next, especially in our major music business in a town like Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you're going to be seeing these people for the rest of your
life. That's what they all said in like musical theater intensives. Which, they're like, this is the future of Broadway, which always is crazy.
I'd look around and be like,
I don't think
this blows.
But you know what's crazy
this
also?
Sucks.
Is like, I used to think that I'd look around and be like, at the people, they're like, this is the future of Broadway. And I was like, no, it is. Like now when I look on Broadway, it's like, those people I was sitting with, which is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah.
And here I am. But I was going to say,
famous podcaster.
Here's some advice I gave Lily recently about, this can be for meeting people or meeting like people you may want to flirt with, because I think this is a foolproof formula. Okay. So you're in class. I want you to pay attention to the people who speak or who you think are cute or like who seem nice or funny, or if you see them out and around, like whatever it is, if someone catches your eye, just start saying hi to them when you see them. Like if you see them in the hall
or
you see them on the street, just like literally wave. Like it doesn't need to be a big thing. It doesn't need to be a hi. It can just be like, we can acknowledge that we've seen each other before. That's all it is. And then it's like, okay, now we're splitting into groups in the class and we like have sort of a knowledge of each other. So I guess we'll just be in a group or maybe get put in a group with them, whatever. Then you're like walking around in the library and you maybe see them and you wave. And then one day you're sitting in the library and they're walking around in the library and they need a table and there isn't one. And you have an open seat at your table. And, you know, a month ago, if you hadn't spoken to them or waved to them ever, they might not ask. But what if they come up and they're like, can I just sit here because I need to work on this, whatever. And then you're like, oh, are you working on blah, blah, blah. And then they add you on Facebook and they're like, oh, we should like go to the library. Like, I don't know if you'll be here later. We should do this again. And then you guys keep going to the library and then they get drunk over the weekend and they message you and they're like, hey, like, what are you doing? Are you out? Like, we should hang out, LOL. And then it's like, okay, I knew we both were feeling it. And then you guys hang out and then you start kissing and then you're dating.
Guys, if you haven't been able to tell, that is a real story that happened to Caroline.
Multiple times. Because it's a foolproof formula, as I said. And I have lots of formulas. I have formulas for ruining men's lives as well. And I'm happy to share those.
Why don't we get into the formula of our rotations?
Oh, Phoebe's done with this.
I need
Phoebe is completely horizontal, by the way. Legging down. You're on Dream, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Let me pull that up. Okay. First is going to be Tillamook cheese.
Oh.
It's so fucking good. It's the best cheese in the world. And I've realized that I need to let myself like splurge on certain things at the grocery store. Like certain things, it's okay if I want to buy the brand name thing of XYZ. And the Tillamook cheese is one thing. It's so good. The shreds are so thick The quality is so good. It's delicious. Second is going to be, and this has been on my like draft list for a while, is the rock version of We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together from the 1989 tour.
Oh.
I wanted to release that on Spotify. And then third is going to be Crash Out Kermit. I'm not one to sit and watch TikTok lives.
Yeah, right.
But Crash Out Kermit might be one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in my whole life. I haven't seen this.
What is it?
It's this Kermit puppet that's being controlled, and there's music playing, and it will go between like a hype song to like Bon Iver, and Kermit will be like dancing and then stop, and then like Flume will start playing, and Kermit will get all like in his feels, and there's a framed picture of him and Mrs. Piggy behind him. And the puppet master will, like, make Kermit's hand, like, go up and, like, caress Miss Piggy's face. Like, sometimes you'll scroll and Kermit will be holding, like, a bottle of, like, Casamigos. Sometimes Kermit will be, like, there was one where Kermit was laying down dead while Bon Iver was playing. And the puppet master's, like, checking his pulse, like, doing CPR, all this stuff. And then he starts playing Fiend by Travis Scott. And Kermit, like, levitates.
Oh, wow.
Levitates up and starts dancing and starts, like, throwing his hands in Miss Piggy's face. It was...
And this person is just doing this for hours.
Sorry, yeah. And so Crash Out Kermit is on my dream rotation.
Wow. That's crazy.
There we go.
Okay. I didn't really have a nightmare rotation prepped, so this is off the cuff. Not the eye roll. Phoebe and her I've had it attitude can see themselves out anytime. I'm annoyed. Okay, so first up on my nightmare dream, or sorry, my nightmare blunt rotation is photo dump culture.
Oh.
Because here's the thing.
It's too long, no.
Well, it's not even that. And can you maybe sit up?
Yes, 1 second.
Because Phoebe has the mic now balanced between her boobs and her cares? Chin. I just feel like I want Instagram to be more casual. I want to be able to use it better. I'm trying to build a personal brand, you know? But here's the thing. You're making it so hard. And you keep trying to pretend, not you. You keep trying to pretend that photo dumps are like a way to make it casual. Like, I'm going to just post whatever I want. Like, it doesn't matter if it's ugly. Here's this picture. No filter of like my crumbs from lunch. But like, that's a lot of stress because everyone is perfectly curating them.
And yeah, sometimes I agree.
It's like, okay, well, I feel like I can't post multiple photos from the same event or in the same outfit in one dump.
That's a good point.
Or if I do, they have to be spaced in like a perfect way. And then it's like, oh, great. Now I'm at the end of the dump and I have to figure out, what am I ending this with? What kind of like joke or funny thing? So I want you all to know that next time you see me post a photo dump, a lot of time and thought went into that. And probably it's taken me months to build up the courage to press post, because the last one I did, I swear I had an album on my, this is so embarrassing, an album on my phone that said photo dump. And I was putting like contenders in there. I was like, I'll just put them in here so that when I do want to post something, I can go in here and just like pick out things for a dump.
I like never post because it's overwhelming.
Because it's overwhelming. And you're like, well, does anyone even just post? It's like, I have to post 1, 2, maybe 3 or 10.
Yeah.
And
or now
between,
20.
But not 20. But 10. Between like 10 and 13. I feel like that 20 is like a little bit too much unless you're sharing wedding pics. And I want to say my 2-year wedding anniversary is coming up, which is exciting. And I'm going to post a bunch of like disposable photos from our wedding day that I have. And I might post 20.
Okay.
And I don't want to like feel self-conscious about that. Okay, guys?
I don't think you need to. Plenty of people are posting 20s.
You're right. But like, and here we are. Here we are, like, plenty of people are doing that. And I just want to be one of those
no,
plenty
but
of people.
What I mean is they're posting it of stuff that doesn't matter.
You're right. You're right. Everyone will care about mine.
Well,
everyone,
if it's your
will
wedding.
Care about mine. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, wait, did I do cheersing last time?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, the next thing is fixer-uppers. Houses, I mean.
I sure hope your husband's listening.
I've lived next to a dilapidated house for years now, okay? This house has been empty. I shit you not, at one point there was an alleged squatter living there. I live in the suburbs of PA where it's like supposed to be a place where squatters aren't really like
a thing
around. And I will never forget the cop knock on our door, and it's like, oh, we think there's a squatter next door, and we're police circling the house with flashlights looking in all the windows.
Right. The cop knock that is similar to the knock that my USPS delivery driver does.
Guys, you know the one. Anyway, It's been vacant, and it's also been covered in, like, unruly foliage and brush and just all kinds
of things. Foliage is too kind of a word.
You're right. It was a nuisance at times, but it also was great because I felt completely hidden from the world, and I live on a pretty busy street, and as we all know, I'm a local celeb. So, privacy is important. Then one day, they just come in and just get rid of everything that was in the front lawn. Now I'm actually performing on a Broadway stage when I am watering my plants. Okay? Hate it. I can't pick up the mail with no bra or like in shorts that when I bend over, like I can't anymore. That's annoying. I'm in my own freaking house outside of it. Okay. And then it's like now we have, it's a construction zone. I live in a construction zone. We have a dumpster there all the time. It's like, this is just a rubbernecker's dream. Okay. There is lots to check out over here. They emptied out the house. That's when it was clear there had been maybe some kind of a squatter, which is scary, by the way. Anyway, now they're like fixing it up a little bit, but not really. And they listed it. And now it's like just this constant train of people coming in and out.
And you know who's not happy about it?
My dog, Charleston.
Charleston is not happy about it. He's looking at the schedule and he's like, they are not on the clipboard.
No, he's like, this was an unexpected visit, an unexpected guest. And Chuck doesn't really care for those. So I don't know how long that's going to go on. But Anthony also was like, I just think we got to go look at it. And like, let me tell you guys, it looks like. What do you think?
It's not good.
I won't. Like, I'm afraid I'll fall through the floor.
That's valid.
And you guys know it's not because I weigh anything. Anything at all, hardly. You know it's just because. And he's like, well, it's just flooring. It's like, but what's underneath? I'm sorry. That's what we can see. I can see that this house is absolutely the stuff of nightmares. This is a murder house if I've ever seen one. And it's not even, like, got the charm that a lot of murder houses do have.
That's true.
Okay, so that's number two.
And it's just, not even the first murder house on the street.
It's not. And that's true. And that's true. Okay, and the last thing, let me just think really, really quick about what that might be. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, when you really have to pee, but you're also like, I want to suck in. Oh, it's the worst. Okay, so that happened to me at the wedding. The worst is also I'm in a bridesmaid dress. That's the color of my skin. So it's like not, that's not the color I was born to wear. Although Kelly did think I looked good in it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It's not the color I was born to wear. It is a great color, but I just like, I prefer darkness. I prefer to be shrouded in darkness, as we know. This was color of my skin. It was a pretty dress. I liked my hair. I liked everything that was going on. I was in very high shoes. And then I had to pee, and I'm holding the bouquet. The bride's bouquet was massive, very heavy. It was beautiful. And mine. And I keep bending down in my shoes to adjust. What if I had fallen when I bent down to fluff the dress?
We all would have been like, oh, and there's Caroline.
How about when I stepped on the stage? Did you see that?
No.
Okay, I walked down the aisle, last one, before the bride, of course. I walked down, and I got to, there was like a little platform for the bride and groom to stand on. I just step up there. No one else did that. I knew exactly where I was supposed to be standing, not on, I'm not getting married today.
Just natural.
And I look at Evan, I was like, and then I had to get down.
I imagine they're like, does anybody have any objections? And
Karen's like, bride wasn't even up there yet. I was like, is it time for objections yet? Or not yet? Okay, I'll be here. I also don't know if you saw me yell at the officiant to fucking get out of the way when the kiss happened. That was an important job that I would get because he's so tall.
Yeah.
But there was no way his head wasn't going to be just like perfectly balanced over their first kiss as a newlywed couple.
Can't happen.
Grabbed him out of there. I said, get him.
Good work.
I did good. So, but I just hate that feeling. I started having to pee. I was in the heels. I had to suck in, but it was like painful if you start to suck in. But if I let it all hang out, I'm in this dress that's the color of my skin. Why do people think I'm butt ass naked up here? That I can't risk that on my best friend's wedding day of all freaking days. So, but guys, by the way, my speech was fabulous. I felt very good about it. I was so nervous. But that advice I gave you guys, that I also gave myself, that I took from somebody else, was good advice. So if you're writing a speech and you need advice, Phoebe and I have both done it now and we both knocked it out of the park. So you can ask either of us for advice.
That is true.
Okay, that's it. Sorry, I know that took a long time, but.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. On Thursday, we will be recapping season 5, episode 22 of Pretty Little Liars. Very exciting. And we do have our first October Patreon episode will be on Friday. Haven't figured out what it is yet, but can't wait for
Secret
that.
Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
That is not what it is.
We're doing a deep dive on it.
Oh, I forgot. That is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking that was like a pilot recap. Okay, I'm doing that, aren't I? Okay, I'll get on it. Okay, we'll get in the lab. Thank you guys for listening. We love you so much. Please, if you would, take a minute, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us something you love about the show or tell us something that you would like for us to change and maybe we'll listen, but don't get your hopes up. Please go listen to Alex Cooper's interview with Kamala Harris. It is awesome. It's a good use of 40 minutes. Follow us on Instagram at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a 0. Or follow us on TikTok at The Pretty Little Podcast. All the letters are just completely normal. And we will see you next week.
And I'm starving. Starving.
That's what I said. Or a new riff. A new riff on the existing joke. I'm starving. 4-hour episode of nothing.